morning again, everybody. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad you're here with us today. As you just saw on the screen, we are beginning a new series today entitled Legacy. So if you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel's in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll get there here in a moment. But we have a little saying here at Bethel Community Church. It's really going to help us as we walk throughout this new series entitled Legacy. This series is going to run all throughout the month of January. And we believe, just like Kelby just said, that every single one of us can leave a legacy right here in Clarksville or Fort Campbell. You know, we have the saying that we have here at Bethel is that your journey begins at starting point, it continues in community, and it ends with leaving a legacy. And this year, we believe that it is a year for whether you're just beginning your legacy, your relationship with Jesus, or that legacy is continuing on, that this is the year that every single one of us, that first and foremost, that we really allow, now listen to me, Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life. This is the year that we make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to give up everything. Just as my King has given 100%, I'm going to surrender all that I am, all that I hope to be. I'm going to give it over to Jesus. And he's going to be the Lord of my life. This is the year for us to get out of debt. Coming in February, we're going to be talking about finances. And this is the year because so many of us, we start the new year out, we want to get out of debt, but yet it's a painful process. But this is the year that God's going to empower you to get out of debt and to begin to find financial freedom. This is the year that some of us, for the first time, that we're going to begin to trust God with 10% of our income. We're going to talk more about that again in February. But we're going to say take 10% of our income, because as we probably look at our finances now, what we're doing is probably not working. And the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. So how about a change? It's 2016. How about trusting this Bible? Trusting God and saying, God, I'm going to take 10% of my income and give it back to you. This is going to be the year that we get involved in Bethel like never before. For some of us, the first step, like Pastor Travis talked about, is starting point. This is how you find out about Bethel Community Church. We're going to be talking about that throughout January, the month of January. This is the year that we get involved in the community group. That's our small groups here at Bethel, where you can engage in relationship in the community of the church that God has called you to be a part of. This is the year that we jump in and we begin to serve. We begin to lay down our life, not just for ourselves, but for those that are around us. This is a year for some of us that we go on a missions trip. Some of you guys have been believing, man, I want to go on a missions trip. 2016, we're going to talk about that. The different mission trips are going to be offered here coming up in the summertime. We're going to train you how to raise finances and resources to be able to send you to the nations of the earth. And so today, what we're going to do today is that we're going to really launch this series off legacy by looking at one of the greatest pictures in the Old Testament about where all of our legacies begin. There's a man in the Old Testament, and because of the mistakes of his family, this guy's legacy was really a legacy that was leading to death and destruction. But because of the kindness of a king, he was actually brought into, we're going to see this today, life and blessing. As you read the Old Testament, what you find in the Old Testament is what is called types and shadows of Jesus Christ. A lot of people disregard the Old Testament because they think that there's nothing relevant for them in the Old Testament. But yet, when it comes to the work of the cross, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we just came out of a series last month where we talked about God's miracle-working power. But the thing about miracles is that we cannot live off miracles, because the Bible tells us to do what? The Bible says that we are called not to walk by miracles, are we? But it says we're called to walk by faith. And that's what this series is going to do for you and I. It is going to build our faith. And it's going to help us understand who we are in Christ and really what is being extended to us as we chase after the one who is calling you and I into our legacy. And what we're going to see today from 2 Samuel chapter 9 is that everything changes. Everything changes when the king comes calling. Everything. 2 Samuel 9, we're going to read a couple. If you didn't do your Bible reading today, you're going to get it right here. Because we're going to read the whole chapter. All right, so stay with me. Is that okay with everybody? We're going to read the whole chapter, so you guys stay with me. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 9 says, "And David said," that's King David, "is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Jonathan was David's friend. "Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'I am your servant.' And the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?' Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan, but he is crippled in his feet.'" That's key for us today. The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. David said, "Mephibosheth." He answered, "Behold, I'm your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" The king said, called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." That's the king's table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both of his feet. What this chapter paints for us is really a clear picture of really what is being extended to you and I. See, here what we have is we have this man named David. And King David is extending grace to this man named Mephibosheth. When it comes to the grace of God can be very confusing to you and I. The grace of God we don't really understand it. What is this grace all about? What does it do in our life? What does it cause us to act like, cause us to be like? And the grace of God can be defined as this: it is the unmerited divine love or favor extended to the undeserving. It's been said that justice is getting what you deserve, that mercy is not getting what you deserve, but grace is getting what you do not deserve. And today we are going to come into contact with a kind of grace that most of us probably have never experienced. The kind that reaches out to you and I, the undeserving, and lifts us up out of our condition, forever changing us and causing us actually to begin to leave a legacy. Some of us don't even realize this kind of goodness, this kindness is really available to us. Because what we think is, because of what we have done, we have exempted ourselves. We have exempted ourselves from God's kindness, from God's goodness, because what we have been involved in, or maybe what has been done to us. But today, everything is changing because it's a new season. It's a new year. Now, just coming to a new season and new year really doesn't mean anything. But yet, with Jesus Christ, because he is alive and well, therefore, guess what? You and I can live. And you and I can begin to encounter and begin to walk in this grace that he has for us. This light right here is driving me nuts. We got to cut this light off. Please, Ryan, find Ryan and get that light cut down. No matter where you're at in your relationship with Jesus, every one of us in this series is going to another level throughout this series. So let's look at how this king named David reached down and extended grace to a man who was lame. to a man who was poor, to a man who was broken, to a man who was undeserving. This man named Mephibosheth, what a crazy name, don't name your child that, living in a place called Lodabar. You look up that word Lodabar. Lodabar means no pasture. What does that speak? That speaks of no hope, no legacy. And David's going to this poor, broken man with no hope, with no pasture, with no legacy. But remember, David is a type of Christ. He's a shadow of Jesus Christ. So what we see throughout this story, what we see David doing for Mephibosheth, guess what? Your King Jesus does that and a lot more for you and I. Because everything changes again when the king comes calling. Mephibosheth, who he was a descendant of King Saul. He was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan's dad was Saul. Saul was king. And this guy, Mephibosheth, he was in line one day, maybe, to be the king. He was supposed to be royalty. But because of the decision that Saul, his granddad, made, God had really put a curse on King Saul. Saul had been rejected as king. And what happened when a new king came to throne, that new king would basically kill every person, every descendant that came from the former king, because he wanted to wipe out everyone. And here's Mephibosheth, lame in his feet, and he got lame because his nurse, at 5 years old, ended up dropping him while she was running for her life. And here he is, he's lame in his feet, and he's stuck in a place called Lodabar. No hope, no pasture, living in poverty, living in want. He could not work. He had inherited nothing but simply poverty and death. He was in a desperate situation. He was missing out on life. Every day, this guy who was supposed to be royalty, I have a hard time saying that, royalty, he just sat waiting really to die. Either poverty was going to kill him, or he knew one day this new king is going to find out where I am, and he's also going to come and kill me. See, I hate to tell you today that even though it's New Year's, I got to give you some New Year's bad news. That when we read about Mephibosheth right here, this is a perfect picture of you and I outside of Christ. The only thing is, because of sin, we're actually in a worse situation than Mephibosheth. Most of us today have clothes on our back. Most of us today probably came from a home or apartment that we lived in. Most of us today have food in our belly. But because of sin, nothing, that doesn't mean nothing standing before a holy God. Our physical condition, our job, how much money we have, what's going on right now has nothing to do, friend, with your spiritual state before a holy God. Being sinners causes you and I to live in Lodabar. No pasture, no provision, no hope, without his presence, without his power in our lives. We are in spiritual poverty without Jesus. We are destitute. We are helpless, hopeless, powerless. Really, the human condition can be summed up right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, remember you. Now, what I like to do when I see that word you is put my name there. Because so many times when we read the Bible, we put other people's name there. Oh, yeah, that's old Sally. That's her. Remember where she's living? Oh, that's Jim. No. He's talking to you, friend. Put your name there. Remember that you, Lance, Pastor Richard, were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the God's covenant promises. We had no hope because we were without God in this world. See, friend, as we come into this new year is not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about making a new resolution. Because if that's all that ever happens, that new commitment to lose weight, that new job, new income, whatever it may be, that's going to let you down just like everything else has let you down. Because really when it comes to Christianity, it's not about you making a new commitment. It's about you receiving the commitment that was made to us over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, he made a new commitment to us. And his commitment, praise God, doesn't wear out after about a month or a week. It's forever lasting. Just as Mephibosheth was born into a family that was disgraced, doomed, and destitute, guess what? So are you and I. But something was happening that Mephibosheth was unaware of. He didn't know that someone was actually beginning to ask about him. Not just anybody, but the king of Israel was beginning to ask, is there anyone, in verse 1, is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him not harm, but kindness for Jonathan's sake? Mephibosheth could never imagine that someone wanted to be with him. He thought very low about himself. You saw later on when we read that he called himself a dog. Why would someone, Mephibosheth would think, why would someone want to be with me? Look who I am and what I'm a part of. Mephibosheth is thinking, no one wants me. See, there's something that each of us possess in this room. That no matter where you come from, no matter what job you have, how much money you make, what rank you are today, what kind of house you live in, there's something that all of us possess that equals the playing field for us all. And that's all called a past. Every one of us in this room. So what does that mean? I don't have to be ashamed. Because every one of us sitting here has a past. Something we wish never happened. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about this at our New Year's Eve service, but a couple of weeks ago, there was a picture of me that surfaced on Facebook from my past. There was a friend of mine that passed away, and I went and officiated his funeral, and this girl that knew me had a picture of me with all of my friends, and she decided it was a good idea to put that on Facebook. And she tagged me. I guess that's what it's called. Tag, Pastor Richard? It was all showed up on my page. So I called Ryan. I said, Ryan, how do I delete this? Because I wanted to get there before any of you guys saw it. But when I pulled it up, I was too late. There was already people commenting, wow, is that you, Pastor Lance? So what did I do? Delete. I deleted it anyway. Because I didn't want you guys to see what I used to be like. I'm trying to hide that, cover that up. But the truth, see, some of you want me to show it right now, but I do not have it. That picture is gone. I am not showing that picture. But the truth is, we all have one. We don't like to talk about it. But the problem is that it's hard to forget because our past has a voice. And it talks to us all the time. So you can understand Mephibosheth. You can understand how he felt. Because a lot of us here today, we feel the same way. If they only knew this about me, they'd never want to be with me. If they don't want to be with me, then, man, what does God think about me? These are the thoughts that run through our minds. But all of this crazy is going on in Mephibosheth's head. What's happening? This king named David is making plans to call Mephibosheth because of a promise that he made to his dad, Jonathan. Here's an amazing truth that being who Mephibosheth was, oh, this is so good, placed him in a position to experience the grace of King David. He was the son of someone David, this king, made a promise to. What this reveals to you and I is that even though it doesn't thrill us in this new year, that we're all sinners, being a sinner places us in a position to experience the grace of God in an overwhelming way. That this God, who is a God of love, desires to show you and I how much he wants to bless us, how much he wants to provide for us, how much he wants to change us. Mark 2:17, Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners, that's you and I, to repentance. What's he saying here? He's telling us, I didn't come to call those who look like they got it all figured out. Man, I've come for those who have a past, things they're ashamed of, things they wish nobody ever knew about. That's who I've come to get. David desired to extend grace and blessing to Mephibosheth, just as God, my friend, desires so much so to extend it to you and I. So what David began to do? This king began to seek after Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was not going to come to David. Why? He was scared. If I come to him, I'm a descendant of Saul. I'm going to get killed. Mephibosheth was not coming. David, he had to what? He had to go after Mephibosheth, seek after him. What's great about this, it's not like David said all these wonderful things. Who is left in the house of Jonathan and I can bless and just sit back and wait for Mephibosheth to come to him? He knew he's not coming. So David was the first to do what? David began to seek after him to fulfill the promise that he had declared. This is the same with our Heavenly Father. God is not just up in heaven shouting out these great promises. I want to bless you. I want to multiply you. I want to cause you to be fruitful. I want joy and peace to be released in your life. And sitting back and waiting for you and I to come to him. Because he knows you're not coming. We're not smart enough. We go to everything else. But what does God do? God came to you and I. He seeks after us. Not only does he seek us, He presented to us his own son, Jesus, and Jesus comes and he picks us up. And he knows we're not going, so he's going to pick us up and take us right into the middle of God's promises. So we cannot miss them. It's kind of like me at Christmas time with my kids. We have this thing, you probably do too, called Elf on the Shelf. I don't hide the elf in some obscure place up in the attic where my kids have no hope of finding it. I put it right in the middle, whether it's on the Christmas tree, holding the milk in the refrigerator because they eat cereal every morning, where they can what? Where they can find it. It's like when I'm playing cards with my kids. They obviously don't know how to hold their cards in a way where I can't see them. I see everything they have. So what do? Because I love them, because I want to bless them, I play the card they need to win. This is what God does for you and I. He's not out hiding, running from us, trying to get away from you. He picks us up by his grace. He picks us up by his kindness. He seeks after us and he places right in the middle where you cannot miss the blessing. If you miss it, it's your own fault, not his. God's not running from you, but to you. David was not scared of Mephibosheth. He did not care what kind of situation he was in, his condition. He was the king. He had more than enough to provide for whatever Mephibosheth needed. Friend, God is the same way. He's not scared of your past. He's not scared of what is to come. He's not scared of the situation. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He has more than enough resources and finances and blessings for every single one of us today. See, one of the most important things and understanding the gospel and understanding the grace of God is God came to us. He made the first move. He sought us even though we were in our filth doing things that he hates. It's kind of like a homeless person. When we see homeless people on the side of the road, we usually turn our heads, drive the other direction, walk the other direction. Why do we do that? We do that because not because we want to be mean, but we do it because the need is so great. We think to ourselves, my little change, this is too great. So friend, the thing is that you and I, outside of Christ, we're that homeless person. We don't even have a clue how big the need was. You can't even imagine how big your need was for Jesus to come and rescue you. But even though you didn't know, guess what? He still came. He still sought after you. But David, King David, he didn't stop there. He not only sought after him, he sent for Mephibosheth. Verse 4, he says, where is he? Ziba said, he's in the house of Makar, the son of Amal, at Lodabar. Then King David, he sent and brought him from the house of Makar, the son of Amal, at Lodabar. see, again, Mephibosheth was scared to death. Now he hears the king is coming. He's not thinking he's coming to bless me. He's thinking he's coming to kill me. Because Mephibosheth had the wrong view of David. Could that be you and I today? Could some of us be holding back from God, from trusting this word because, man, we're not sure. We have the wrong view of who our Heavenly Father is, who this Jesus is. We think Jesus is coming to maybe harm us or withhold something, when all the while he's coming to give. And here's Mephibosheth. He's beginning to receive what he did not deserve. Mephibosheth, for the first time in his life, is encountering grace. Again, this is a man that deserves death, but because of the king's calling and because of his grace, he's brought into life and blessing like he never imagined. You and I, we also, just as David sent for Mephibosheth, we have someone that has been sent to you and I. His name is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, begin to change you, it's a scary thing. Because the eyes of your heart are beginning to open, you really see how wicked and how what you've done. And then all these lies and condemnation begin to come. It's not very pleasant. Because we begin to see how far we really are from God. But yet God shows us that. Again, not to harm us, not to push away so that you and I can be in awe of his grace. Mephibosheth is in awe here at what King David is doing for him. In awe. He can't believe that this king would come. And when we're in awe of that grace, man, we just simply say, it's so easy just to say, God, Lord, I surrender everything over to you. The state of knowing that you're guilty and need a Savior, what that's called is called conviction. And we respond to that conviction by surrendering to the king who is calling. But Mephibosheth, he's like us. He had the wrong view, so he was afraid. My encouragement to us today is 2016. Let's give everything to Jesus. Let's start this year out by surrendering over to his lordship. Lordship is the absolute surrender and complete obedience to Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, just have your way. What do you want, sir? What do you want to do here? What do you want to do there? Be Lord of my marriage, Lord of my kids, Lord of my money, Lord of my job, Lord of what I put my time and attention to. Let's surrender everything over to him. Our lives, our schedules, our time. Now here's Mephibosheth. He arrives at the king's house. I'm sure he's thinking, man, what's he going to say to me? What's he going to do for me? And when Mephibosheth shows up, he actually falls to the ground because he's scared. In verse 6, he falls to the ground. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. He said, Mephibosheth, David said. He answered, behold, I'm your servant. What a great response to a king. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table, the king's table. Oh, something he could never imagine, always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Mephibosheth, he thinks low about himself. He's called himself a dead dog. I mean, that was one of the lowest things a Jewish man could say about himself. Dogs were unclean. Things that were dead were unclean. They were untouchable. Jewish men and women stayed away from them. He saw himself as worthless. But David, what did David call him? David didn't call him that. David called him what? He said, Mephibosheth. He called him by his name. David called him by his name. What's David saying? He said, you're in the presence of the king. Hold your head up. You're a king's kid now. Because you belong to me, therefore your servant Ziba and all his sons, they're going to provide for you. More than that, you're going to come and you're going to eat at my table. See, Mephibosheth, he's entering into what's called sonship. And this is what you and I walk into when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us to Jesus and we surrender. You and I receive sonship, the right to be called a son and daughter of the living God. Not just to be called, though, a son or daughter, but to actually have the power now to live that kind of lifestyle out. See, friend, when you're a son and daughter of the King, guess what? You act like a son and daughter of the King. Who you are determines how you act. David's telling Mephibosheth, you belong to me. You're going to dress like a king's son. You're going to eat like a king's son. And you're going to act like a king's son. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, our great King comes into our life, he says the same thing to you and I. You belong to me. Therefore, hold your head up high. Because you are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Therefore, you're going to dress like a daughter of God. You're going to act like a son of God. You're going to talk like a son of God. You're going to think like a daughter of God. Jesus comes to change us, to transform us. What does that mean for us? That means that there's some things coming in 2016 that we're no longer going to do because we belong to the King and we represent what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be like. More than that, let me tell you. Well, not more than that, but just like that. You represent this church. You represent Bethel. You represent every person you're sitting next to. So when you go act like a fool, guess who you make look like a fool? You make us look like a fool. So in 2016, we're going to start acting like that we belong to the King. That means there's some places I stop going because I belong to the King. Because I represent something much bigger than myself. So I don't go to those places anymore. I don't watch those things anymore. Pastor Lance, are you trying to put rules and restrictions on me? Yes, I am, if it keeps you in relationship with the King. It means we don't put certain things on social media because I belong to the King. Thank God for freedom of speech, but some of you need to understand the freedom of shutting up. You don't have to voice and air your opinion on everything. There's certain things I don't say because, you know what? I might not like this person or how the government's doing this, but I don't represent just myself and my own ridiculous opinions. I represent you guys. I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm trying to walk in a diverse church. So there's some things I just don't say. There's some things I just don't do because I'm about something much more. See, this is what it means to be a king's kid. This is who you and I are. We're seated at the table. Therefore, we begin to act like it. David is telling Mephibosheth, everything now has changed now that you belong to me. Everything. Four times, if you read it here, 2 Samuel 9, four times he says, you're going to eat at my what that is. Four times he says that. See what's happening? Mephibosheth is entering into a new legacy. A new legacy has begun in this man's life. The old legacy has passed away and the new one has come. Jan, you can come on up. See, sitting at the King's table, guys, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And the great thing about being at the King's table is if no one ever told you, sorry guys, if no one ever told you,
check, 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 good.
If no one ever told you that Mephibosheth was not a natural son to David, you'd never know. You would never know. Because as he was seated at that table, he looked just like one of the king's sons. You know what else you would have never known unless someone would have told you? Is that Mephibosheth was crippled in his feet. Because when you're seated up to the table, the king's table, the table covered Mephibosheth's brokenness. It covered the lameness of his feet. It covered who he used to be. What a great picture, again, of the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you and I are seated, when we're seated at that King's table because of the work of Jesus, our brokenness is covered. Our past is covered.
Everything that wants to bring shame, condemnation, guilt, it's covered. Why? Because the King has extended grace to us. Mephibosheth was brought into, he was brought into a new place. He was brought into a new purpose. And he was brought into new provision. This is what happens to us as well. When Jesus gets a hold of our life, he brings us into a new place. It's called a community of believers. See, Mephibosheth now had relationship. He was all by himself. But now he has relationship. He's connecting with where he belonged. It's the same with us. As we move throughout this series, when it comes to League and Legacy, you're never going to leave a legacy by yourself. You have to be connected in relationship. We're going to talk to you all about how to get plugged in. For some of us, it's starting point. It's taking that first step and saying, man, I'm going to find out about this church. That's what starting point's all about. It's about finding out about Bethel. Is this the church that God's calling me or me and my family to be a part of? We talk about what we believe. We talk about the foundations of the faith. We connect in relationship. Community groups. It's how you connect relationship, relationally as you're locking arms with those that God's called you to walk with. Some of you guys, this is going to happen in 2016. But he also found new purpose. He found a mission that he could be a part of. And he also found new provision. Not just for himself, but we see that there was a blessing that began to flow, not just to Mephibosheth, but who else? His son, Micah. His son also got blessed because of his daddy's decision to surrender over to the King. Man, I'm so excited about this month, really the next 3 months. Really all throughout the year, we're going to carry this legacy theme all throughout the year. But it starts by you and I allowing the grace of God to be extended for us, to us. If King David can do this for a crippled, broken, left for dead man, what can King Jesus? What can he do for you and I? Amen. Father, we love you so much.